All right, very good. Thank you, ladies. Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2 in your Bibles, and we're going to read verses 5 through 9 this morning. And again, I want to bring a Mother's Day type message for our hearts today, but certainly dads, kiddos, everybody should be able to take something home from the thoughts we'll give you this morning out of this passage. Exodus chapter 2, and I'd love to take the time to read the entire story, but we'll limit it to verses 5 through 9. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's Word today. Exodus 2, 5 through 9. If you'll please join me on the even verses 6 and 8, I'll read the odd-numbered verses. Verse 5, chapter 2, book of Exodus. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. When she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. Let's pray together. Dear Father, please help us this morning as we preach your book. I have nothing within myself available, Lord, to be a help and a blessing to anybody, except for the dear Holy Spirit who lives inside my body, because, Lord, I'm saved by your grace. Lord, I would say, pray and ask if there's anybody here this morning not saved, today might be the day of their salvation. What a great thing to happen on a Mother's Day, to be a born-again child of God. I pray that you'd give us a good service and help me to preach in your power and help us to listen in your power and bless the music to prepare our hearts for the message in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
The Lord still reigns forever up on high. Lift his praise up to the sky. And raise your voice and sing the joyful song that our God still reigns. Our God still reigns.
song this morning. Thank you, folks. I appreciate that. Good music for us. And more than good music, good truth. Wonderful. God bless you. I want to speak this morning on the subject, a mother's wages. You'll find that phrase in verse number 9, where Pharaoh's daughter said to Jochebed, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." So I want to speak this morning on the subject, the mother's wages. Brother Greg, the sound sounds a little funny right now, if it's more out there than it is up here, what? But you check it and help us out with that. And when I can, usually when I hear myself out there more than up here, something's not quite straight on it. So, mother's wages, I want to speak on that subject this morning. Dear Father, thank you for the good music today. I'm glad our God still reigns. And we take that, Lord, and couple it with the song the choir sang, and or one of these days Jesus is coming, and we're going to be out of here. And Lord, there is no cause for discouragement. There's no cause this morning for a child of God to go on in depression because the economy's tough or whatever. Lord, the world looks like this and that. Lord, it's good days because we know you and you still reign. And I pray that you'll help us. Help our mothers. Bless those who are moms this morning. Think about, Lord, those who became mothers for the first time this since the last Mother's Day. What a blessing. I pray that you'll bless us to even have more of that in the coming year. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to preach your word. Open our hearts again, please, Lord, to the Bible. I pray in Jesus' name and amen. The mother in this story that we read a moment ago has a name. Now, her name's not mentioned here, but her name is Jochebed, found in a couple of other places in the Bible. She was the wife of Amram. She was the mother of Aaron, Moses, and Miriam. Aaron, Moses, and Miriam. Now, Moses became the most well-known of the three children. But the truth is that Aaron and Miriam also were pretty prominent influences in the nation of Israel during their lifetime. Now, I'm not going to belabor you with the story. Most of you are familiar with it. But let me just summarize the story of Moses' birth again and the unusual events surrounding it. When Moses is born, there is a death sentence in place on all boy babies. Pharaoh's already made a decree that all boy babies born in the land of Egypt are to be put to death. Girl babies can live, boy babies have to die. What this was, folks, and I don't have time to go into this morning, this was one of the many attempts by Satan to eliminate the promised seed. Okay? If he could kill all the Hebrew boys and so forth, it would eliminate eventually the promised seed. So, that's another attempt by Satan. Anyway, Jochebed gives birth to Moses, realizes, oh goodness, this is a boy. No ultrasounds in Egypt, okay, in this day. So, we got a boy here. That means he's to die. Okay, so she's going to take care of this little guy, and she builds an ark that she handmade very carefully, evidently probably she and her husband Amram, and she puts that little boy in that ark. Now, she covers the inside and the outside with pitch and slime. Beautiful symbolism and typology here. We won't have time for that this morning. Basically, waterproofing the basket and making it so it'll float. One of those chemicals causes things to float, okay? So she's one of has the chemicals in it that causes it to float. Pitch and slime. So she does it, and she places that little fella, that newborn baby, after about 3 months, I think it is, in the ark. She takes it down to the backwaters of the Nile River. And she places it amongst the reeds, the flags, the Bible uses the term flags, the reeds that are growing up along the backwaters of the Nile River. She hides it in there in hopes that he'll be safe. Wouldn't you know it, Pharaoh's daughter comes down to the Nile River with her entourage for her bath, basically. And when they get there, they see the little boat floating. And she fetches it. She opens it up. The baby begins to cry. Her heart is just wrenched from her body. And she realizes, she says, I know what this is. Immediately she knows this is one of the Hebrews' babies. This is one of the Hebrews' babies. They didn't want the boy to die. It was her daddy that made the death sentence. They didn't want the boy to die, and they put him in this little boat. Well, Miriam is off somewhere behind some trees. Moses' sister, older sister, she's watching all this take place. And she comes down there to where Pharaoh's daughter is. And she says, ma'am, would you like for me to go and get one of the Hebrew mothers to nurse the child for you?
And Pharaoh's daughter said, sure, you go get a Hebrew woman, and that'll be wonderful. Well, you know who Miriam goes to get, don't you? Miriam goes to get Moses' mom. Well, you talk about the providence of God. Amen. And so she gets Jochebed, and here comes Jochebed. And I love it. Verse number 9, Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, now said to Jochebed, take this child away and nurse it for me. Wonder how hard that would be. And I will give thee thy wages. She said, here's Jochebed, Moses' mother. So Pharaoh's daughter says, you take this baby and rear it, and I'm going to give you cash money. So here's Jochebed, what she would have done for nothing, she's going to get paid for. That's a blessing. Amen. That's a change of pace, huh, ladies? Amen. All right. Yeah. So now, moms don't get paid cash money for rearing children. In fact, some moms, many moms, shell out big dollars to have other people take care of their kids for them. And I hope you don't do that. Hope you take care of your kids. Amen. That's the best thing to do. My daughters have worked at the child care. Going there, you know, the two that have been to college have worked at child care. And it's sad. See those babies dropped off at 6 a.m., picked up at 6 p.m. But be sure you're saving money too, folks. By the time you pay out those dollars and gas and all that stuff. But anyway, the federal government obviously doesn't think you stay-at-home moms are worth a whole lot. You're not included in the tax rebate. Yeah, did you know that? That's why it was less than I thought it was going to be. You know, I kept hearing, you know, so much per married couple, and it was less. And, you know, and what in the world? So I called my brother-in-law out, and he knows all that stuff. He said, it's because your wife doesn't work. You know, you stay-at-home moms, you don't work. You sit around all day on a couch and bonbons and your fluffy robes on, you know, and with your feet up in the air and, you know, eating your chocolates, and you don't work, right? Isn't that what they think? You don't work. So you're not entitled to a tax rebate. But, you know, the truth is there are wages that come with being a mother. And Jochebed, she received not only cash money, she received wages from this lady, Pharaoh's daughter, to rear her son. But she also received the intangible wages from mothering as well. The intangible wages. Let me ask you a question. If you had to pay a woman to be a mother, how much would it cost? Could you put a figure to that? Could you put a pencil on paper and figure that up? 24/7, 7 days a week, round the clock, hungry, sick, washing the clothes, taking care of that child. How much you think it would cost? And to do that for 18 years? If you had to pay to have somebody be a mother, what kind of price tag? How rare, how valuable is a mother? When you consider, friend, she can take the place of all others, but no one can take her place. You ever think about that? You know, dads sometimes have to be gone. Mom can take the place of dad in some cases. Not forever, but in some cases. Mom is doctor. Mom is nurse. Mom is psychologist. Mom is disciplinarian. Mom is teacher. Mom is counselor. I mean, mom is so much. Mom is encouraging. Mom is so much. She can take the place of all others, but no one else can take her place. Now, how valuable is a person like that? If you had to pay for that, how much would that cost? Think about it. Unbelievable sums of money. Now, you ladies don't get paid for being mothers. You don't get paid cash money for being a mom. But there are some intangible wages that go along with being a mother. And if you're going to receive a mother's wages, you need to have what Jochebed had. In this story, I'm going to point out three things that she had. And by the way, let me say this. If you're going to receive the wages of a mother, you're going to have to be patient. It's like I said, sometimes, you know, mom's wages don't always come on Friday, but they do come. You're going to have to be patient. But I want you to see, first of all, I want you to see her plan. I want you to see Jochebed's plan. If you're going to receive the wages, the intangible wages of being a mother, not the cash money, but the intangible wages, you're going to have a plan. Like Jochebed, she had a plan. Verse number 2, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Now, here's Jochebed. She don't know if she's going to have a male or a female. No ultrasounds. But obviously, 50-50 chance she's going to have a boy. So I believe with all my heart she has a plan. And when that boy baby is delivered, she sees, oh boy, this is a son. I know what's going to happen. I have to put my plan into action. And maybe she'd already even started on her plan, but she already had a plan to have his life spared. Now, moms, there was an enemy seeking the life of Moses. So before he was born, Jochebed already had a plan for the rearing of her son. And moms, I want to say to you this morning, there is a real enemy seeking the well-being of your sons and your daughters. And the enemy's name is Satan, the old devil. He is the thief. He comes, the Bible says, the words of Jesus were these. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is an ugly fighter, a bitter enemy, and moms, you will not rear all those kids to mature adulthood, and especially mature Christian adulthood, without a fight against him. Now, down here, Gary Dice in Pittsfield, Illinois, our friend pastors down there. His dad's name is Leonard Dice. Leonard Dice used to pastor over in the state of Indiana. Brother Mike, do you remember how many Dice boys there are? There's five? I thought there was either five or six. He was talking to Brother Brown one time when he was out in Iowa visiting when I was still assistant pastor there. And Brother Brown was trying to pick Leonard Dice's mind about his boys and all the boys serving God and doing well. And he said, Brother Leonard, what have you got to tell me about rearing those boys? What can you tell me about rearing your children? And Leonard Dice made this statement. He said, of course, you know, he always said the grace of God. He always said that. But then he said this. He said, Brother Brown, I had to fight the devil for every one of them. Now, do you have a plan for that, Mom? This thing does not happen by autopilot. Okay? He said, I had to fight the devil for every one of them. And that's true. Jochebed had a plan to help her in this fight. And mom, you need a plan. I'm talking about the mother. You need a plan. Because Satan wants nothing else than to see your child, maybe not destroyed physically to the place where they lose their life, but I mean to be destroyed spiritually, for their life to be just ruined and wrecked. And in case you haven't had your eyes open, there are a ton of wrecked lives in this country. A ton. And the enemy has his sights on your child. You're going to have to fight the devil for every one of those children. I want to remind mom this morning, dad and everybody, we cannot fight the devil in the power of our flesh. Can't do it. Now, I'm going to say some things tonight, Lord willing. I'm going to preach tonight out of Mark chapter 7, Matthew chapter 15, on the story of the Syrophoenician woman. To me, that's one of the most tender stories in all the Gospels. And I want to help some people tonight, if God will let me use His Word and by the power of His Holy Spirit be a help to some folks. But let me tell you something. Your plan can't be a physical plan. It's got to be a spiritual plan. It's going to include some physical things, but it can't be all physical. You've got to have a spiritual plan. Look, lady, as smart as you may be, He is smarter. As much common sense as you may have, He has more. As much as you love your child, He hates them. Hates them horribly. And He has the world government at His disposal. He has the entertainment industry at His disposal. They're under His... Are you with me this morning? The entertainment industry in our country is under the influence of Satan. Everything that comes out of Hollywood is under His influence. Look, folks, there are some third world countries in this world, less developed countries than America, who won't put up with our television. What comes out of Hollywood out here? It's awful. He has the entertainment industry at his beck and call. All these people he throws in front of our kids to supposedly, you know, all these people he throws in front of them as glamorous and marvelous. And of course, they're on their 18th marriage. And they're tripping out on drugs. Or they're doping, you know, they're getting drunk and can't, you know. I mean, Britney Spears, what a wonderful role model she is. And all her cronies. And all these people, they throw in front of them. They want our kids to, and this new, the newest craze. And I, it takes me a while to catch up on stuff because I'm not going to watch that. But this Hannah Montana stuff. And then girls in the Christian school start dressing like Hannah Montana. I don't know. For some of you folks, I don't know where it's going to end. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know if some of you men have a backbone or not. Get a backbone, man. Throw the thing out. I'm serious. You may think this is extreme. I really don't give a rip what you think. But my daughter tried something one time this ain't happening. I had a wood stove going, and I made her go take it off. I didn't tell her what I was going to do. I had a good fire going in the wood stove. I said, you go take that off. She took it off. She brought it to me, and I threw it in the wood stove. Burned it up. I'm not going to do that. I know you're not. You're going to bend and bow and kowtow. Well, whatever you want, honey. Ridiculous. I'm telling you, Satan has the entertainment industry by his beck and call. Here we go. It's tight in here right now, but that's okay. It's all right. I don't care. It needs to be said. We don't use the entertainment industry as our guideline for fashion. Birthed out of hell. You got to get in the picture. I think of Hollywood, where it comes from. Hollywood, birthed out of hell. I think it's underneath his influence. So he's got that. He's got the fashion. He's got the allurements at his disposal. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Me, you, all of us put together, we are no match for him. In our own flesh. We are no match for him. Without God, without his word, without his Holy Spirit's help, without his Holy Spirit power, you and I have no viable plan to keep our kids safe in this world. Without God, we have no viable plan. Our plan has to include God. Lady, mom, do you have a plan to help your child grow to Christian, mature Christian adulthood? You know, you good mothers, stay close to God. Seek His help. Seek His power. By the way, that's what your plan should include. Your plan, if you want to rear a godly child, your plan should be to be godly yourself. Don't stand here and point your kids that direction. Take them with you. You're never going to take, you will not rear them to be what you are not. You need to be godly yourself. You need to be godly. Plan on being godly. Plan on having daily devotions. Plan on having daily prayer time. Plan on being a good wife. Plan on being a good Christian. Plan on staying close to God for you. Hey, moms, the enemy will exploit anything he can get his hands on. Anything. Now, I'm going to tell you what he exploits. What he exploits is you coming to church and living one way in front of people at church and going home and living another way. You've heard the proverbial shooting yourself in the foot? That's what you're doing. If you're living a double life, if you're living one way at church and one way somewhere else, and I'm going to tell you, Mom, you may think you have it all covered up. You may think it's all hidden in the eyes of men. And it may be for right now, but I'm going to tell you something. It's not hidden from the eyes of God. And in His good time, He can reveal it. He will. Yeah? And He'll exploit that in your children. And He'll say, look at that. Look at your mom at church. She goes, and she acts so nice and feminine and dignified and also at church. And then she comes home and carries on like this and tears around and has all this. Yeah, He'll use that. Well, it's quiet, but that's okay. He'll use that. He's a dirty fighter. He'll exploit anything he can. He'll jump on that so quick it'll make your head spin. Mom, you got to have a plan. Plan on being godly yourself. Plan on rearing your children to Christian, mature Christian adulthood. Have a plan, like Jochebed did. She had a plan to help her son. Number two, I want you to see her protection. Her protection. And look at verse number 2 and 3 again. When she could not longer hide in verse 3. She took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Now, Jochebed did what she could for as long as she could to protect her son from the enemy. As long as she could. Okay? Ladies, there are many things that a mother can do to protect her children from the enemy. That's within your power. You can create a protected environment, an atmosphere at home. Don't sit around and watch those stupid soap operas that are full of nonsense and trash and sin and filth and listen to Oprah and Dr. Phil and all American Idol and all that trash. Let it puke out its corruption in your living room. Don't do that. Well, it helps me when I iron to have something to do. Well, there's a lot of good stuff to do while you're ironing. I'd rather you do what the dear old black lady did who came by the house when I was a little bitty boy. My mother was sick with kidney infection over and over again, and a kindly black woman in Atlanta knocked on our door one day during the summertime. I was home, and she said, "Ma'am, I'm looking for some work. Do you have any?" My mother said, "You know what? I could use you today. My ironing is piled up." And so she came in. My mom set the ironing board up, got the iron out, and brought that big stack of clothes in, laid it there, and that dear old black lady began to iron, and she's ironing. I'm sitting there, just a little boy watching her, you know. Pretty soon she reaches in her bag, she takes out a tin can, puts it on the end of the ironing board. She's ironing away. She got a big old jug of snuff in her lip. She'd iron and spit. Iron and spit. Thank God she hit that can every time. Amen. I remember that just like it was yesterday. Isn't that funny what sticks out in your mind? I'd rather you iron and spit than iron and watch Oprah. In fact, she makes me spit. So does Dr. Phil. All the nonsense that's on television. I'm talking about creating a protected environment. I know this is stuff you don't supposed to say on Sunday morning, Mother's Day. Everybody's so proper. We got our candy bars, amen, you know. That's the last sweet thing you're going to get out of the service this morning. Keep the filthy books and magazines out of your house. Keep good music in your house. Get the questionable DVDs out. Be careful about the toys that are attached to some kind of spiritism or occult world. I'll say more about that tonight. We're funny people. We read the Bible, read about children in the New Testament being vexed with the devil. And we believe that's true. We know that happened because it's the Bible. But we never think it can happen to us. Get all that junk out. What did our verse say? One of our verses say, "The devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Can't get that one. Can't get that one. Can't get that one. Can't get that one. Isn't that what it says? It's not based on finances. It has nothing to do with the color of your skin. It has everything to do with how protected they are. Kind of what we talked about 2 or 3 Sunday nights ago. Staying in the canopy, the umbrella, the hedge of protection. So she's got this protected environment. Now, wait a minute. The protection is not only, this is so, to me, this is so incredibly important. The protection is not only keeping her child from evil, but the protection includes getting him to a place of safety. So she kept him from evil, but she took him to the ark. Now, Mom, some of us, even our home, dads in our homes, we're only doing half, we're only getting the job half done. It's not just keeping them from evil. You got to get them to Christ. You got to get them to Jesus. This is what the ark is a picture of. This ark is a type of Jesus Christ. And this is what she did. She brought that little boy to a place of protection. Yes, she created a protective environment, but she could only do that for so long. Are you hearing this morning? Is it sinking in? You can only keep the child in a protected environment for so long. Eventually, you got to shove him away. Now, for her, it happened a lot earlier in life, 3 months. She could no longer keep him in her protected environment in her home, but she put him in a place of protection in the ark, in that little bulrush. She had it daubed with slime and with pitch, and she put him in there, in that place of protection. She put her son in the ark, a type of Jesus Christ. And look, I am for, obviously, doing everything in our power to create a protected environment for our children. And I will never buy into the argument that some people make that I think they're stronger if you expose them to wrong. I don't buy that. I think the strongest child here when it comes to alcohol is the one who's never tasted a drop. A lot of you kids are stronger than me. Because even though I've been saved 32 and a half years, call me Pastor Angel, what you want to, friend. There was a day when I tasted that stuff. I regret it to this day. You're stronger than I am. The strongest child in this room when it comes to drugs is the one who's never had any kind of illegal drug in their body. There's a strength there, friend, that anybody who's tried it doesn't have. I am for the protective environment, but I am not for doing half the job. Well, we don't do this, and we don't do that, and we don't do that, and we don't do this, and we don't go here, and we don't wear this, and we don't. I'm for that. But you're going to have to send them away someday. They're going to be out from my environment, from your environment. They're going to be in one that they're going to create themselves. It's just as important as it is for us to protect them in an environment at home. It's just as important to get them to Jesus Christ. To help them learn to read their Bible. To help them learn to pray. To help them learn to know the Lord. To talk to the Lord. To seek God. To want to please God. Moms, that's where you are so incredibly important and invaluable. Teach them about Jesus while you got the opportunity. Teach them the stories about Jesus. Teach them the songs about Jesus. Teach them the scriptural truths. She put Moses in the ark and she left him there. You want to bring your child to Christ. Of course, I'm talking about salvation. How many of you were saved at home as little boys and little girls, and mom led you to Christ, dad led you to Christ, and moms and dads, bring your children to Christ. Teach them about how Jesus died for them. What a precious thing it is when they begin at age 3 sometimes and 4 to start talking about, Mommy, I want to go to heaven. Mommy, I want to go to heaven. Daddy, I want to go to heaven. Boy, don't ever pour, you're too young. Don't pour cold water on that. Always fertilize that and nurture that and talk about it. They may not get saved then, but God is beginning to draw them to Christ. Always encourage that, friend. Lead them to Jesus. Teach them about Jesus. Bring them to Jesus. You know, the safest place in all the world is in the will of God for your child. I got to load Ben's container on Tuesday. Man, pray that we don't have a day like today on Tuesday. It can't rain. Can you imagine loading a container in this weather and sealing it up to be shipped off for 6 or 8 weeks on the ocean? My, my, my. And for some reason, I'm not sure I have all the answers, but for some reason, I'm having a harder time with packing his container than I had saying goodbye to him and Ashley. I don't understand it. Maybe it's the finality of it. You know, they've been gone, but I've had their stuff. And, you know, they've been in France. You know, it's not the States, but France is a developed modern country. But June 21st, they're flying to Madagascar. Going to have a baby down there. And I hear things, you know, people are encouraging. Pastor, did you hear that the Muslims, are the presence of the Muslims is surging in Madagascar? Oh, thanks. It's a blessing. It's encouraging. Great. I've been more uptight, more nervous, been more consumed by this than even his going away. I'm packing all of his. It's not my stuff. It's his. I want it to be right. It's going to be on a boat for 6 to 8 weeks, crashing around on the ocean, up and down, going. I want it to be right. Now hear me. I mean this with all of my heart. I'm not just preaching now. I mean it with all my heart. Brother, that's the will of God for him. And he's safer. He is safer in Madagascar in the will of God than he would be living down that street where I live out of the will of God. This is the protection, parents. The protection is not just the do nots. That's important, but the protection is the other half of that, the do's. Do's. Serve God. Love Him. Love God. I am so encouraged by some of our young people who are, they've made, the light switch has flipped on. It's clicked. And they see it. This is not just for Dad. This is not just for Mom. This is for me. And that's what you want. Her plan, her protection, and I'm done. I want you to see her payment. Here's her wages. To see her payment, we've got to go to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go over there quickly. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And you know what? I don't even have time to preach all this because it's time to get pretty close time to quitting here. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at... Now, there are payments. You know, remember the first time they walked? And you probably called your husband at work and said, honey, she walked today. He walked today. He took his first step. And then when they walked for graduation, high school, college, when they walked for their wedding, oh man, that's payment, isn't it? Thank God. But the more valuable payments come later. Look at verse number 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years. Now here's her payment. Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to separate from the world. Look at verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He chose to identify with God's people. God's people didn't embarrass him. They were his crowd. They were the oppressed people, but he identified with them. Look at verse 25. Then to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, he saw that the devil's goods are fake. They're fake. Did you ever eat a cream puff? That is so disappointing. This huge thing, it looks so, you bite into it, and it, that stuff that is called chocolate mousse, it's the same way. You get this, you think it's, you need substance to it, like a cherry pie. The devil's rewards are cream puffs. You know what's so sad? What's so sad is to see teenage young men or teenage young ladies struggle against Dad and Mom, struggle against authority, struggle against God, struggle. And then one day, the switch flips. And it's kind of like, what have I done? This is insane. And it flipped for Moses. He saw that the devil's goods are fake. I don't even have to preach on it. Verse number 26, look at what it says. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. You say, what does that mean? He realized that the worst day with Christ is better than the best day in the world. Some of you don't, you're not there yet. You still are under the delusion that there's good days in the world. No, there's not. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He saw the invisible God by eyes of faith. You know what that is, ladies? That is the reward. That's your wages. I mean, how? There it is. A son whose life was whose life's choices were the right choices about the world and the sin and God, and by eyes of faith keeping, he made the right choices. And I'll guarantee you, you know what? That was enough payment for Jochebed. That's good stuff. What did John say, 3 John? He said, I have no greater joy than what? To hear that my what? Children walk in truth. There's your wages. You just got to wait a little bit. You just got to wait a little bit. Be patient. I was out in the night that we went out to Iowa, to Burlington, for her dad's 76th birthday celebration. And Brother Cranston, to my brother-in-law's place, where my wife's sister is, and dad-in-law drove down. And I'm sitting in the audience, and I'm going to preach that night. And I'm kind of thinking about the message. I haven't been paying much attention to what's going on around me. Kept my mind on the message. But we start the service, and Will Sharp is leading the singing. And Becky Sharp is playing the piano. And my heart warmed up. Because I thought about Brother Brian and Mary Joyce. But Brian's been here several times, is coming again. What a good preacher. Mary Joyce had cancer twice. Brian's had this awful battle with these receptors that are turned upside down and mastosis, I forget the name of it. And they really gave up, thought he was going to die, almost treating him like a guinea pig now, trying to get him well. And I thought about Brian, and I thought about Mary Joyce. And I thought about the trials and some of the tests. They got the afflicted boy, Johnny. Johnny's a good boy, but oh, what they've been through with Johnny, the surgeries. I mean, the hours in the hospital. And I thought about Brian and Mary Joyce. When I got home, I dictated him a letter and told him I was out in Iowa, and I saw Will leading singing. I saw their baby. Grandbaby for the Sharps. And I saw Becky playing the piano. And I said, Brother Brian, just bless my heart. See your kids. You know, they're not in full-time ministry. Becky teaches. Will works a job. Just bless my heart. See your kids serving the Lord. And I got a voicemail. I didn't have my phone with me the other day. And he called. He said, Terrence. That's what he calls me. Terrence. Terrence, I got your voicemail. No, I got your letter. Thank you for the kind words about our kids. God has been good. There's your wages, folks. There's your wages. And some of you right now, you think, well, I'm not going to get into my kid. I got a child just so far from God. Kids far from God have come home. So you be patient. You do right. Have a plan. Have protection. And you'll get the wages. You'll get the payment. It may take a little time, but you'll get it. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. That's a mother's wages.